You're listening to the Liberty News Radio Network, and this is the Political Cesspool. The Political Cesspool, known across the South and worldwide as the South's foremost populist conservative radio program, and here to guide you through the murky waters of the political cesspool is your host, James Edwards.
All right, folks, 1 hour left to go this Saturday evening, July 30th, as we broadcast to you live from our flagship station in Memphis, Tennessee. This is the Political Cesspool. I'm your host, James Edwards, joined for the full 3 hours tonight with my co-host, Keith Alexander. I can't wait until next week when I can introduce the program as being the first week in August. But what I really can't wait is for October, November, December, January. I am so sick of this heat and this merciless climate.
If there's one thing that James doesn't like any more than vegetables and fruit, it is hot weather, which is odd for a southerner. Again, it's odd, one, not to like fruits and vegetables, two, it's doubly odd not to like hot weather, but that
no,
prefer it to cold weather. At least.
I love the South. I'm a Southerner through and through. I'm a Confederate. People always slur me by calling me a neo-Confederate. I reject that. I'm the real thing. I don't know how much my ancestors who fought for the South like this heat. I mean, this is just merciless. I wish.
Can you imagine
lived
wearing a wool uniform in the summer, marching 20 miles a day? Oh, my goodness.
I wish I was 20 feet under the ice in Antarctica. Then I could be happy. But nevertheless, it is almost the end of summer.
See, I'm the true Southerner, James. I'm the one who thinks that heat can be uncomfortable, but cold is life-threatening.
We'll have to talk about that off air, I guess. But anyway, summer's almost over. I tell you all the time, I get depressed every time Easter comes around because I know it's coming. And this summer has been particularly brutal in Memphis. It's just been awful. But
it's been so bad that that's why we had these power outages that we were making reference to earlier in the show. There is such a demand for air conditioning in this area right now that basically the grid can't keep up with it.
That's right. If Southerners like it, why do they use air conditioning?
Because they've become pansified.
No, I bet you run the air conditioner at 60 degrees at your house.
Well, here's what I do. I've got zoned air conditioning, one for downstairs, two for upstairs. My bedroom is in one part of the upstairs. That's the only thing that runs at night. And right now, when I'm not at home, guess what? No air conditioning is on.
All right, but how cold do you keep it when you're night-night?
72.
All right. Well, that's a lot better than 110, which was what it is when I came in.
Yeah, but then on the other hand, I did. No, the thing is, James will have it down around 68 or something. I mean, you could store meat in James's house when he gets things cranking.
All right. Well, again, we're getting off track. This is like the Peter and Gordon segment. But all right, let's talk about this. This is another thing we talked about at lunch the other day. So we are officially designated a hate group. We've been officially designated a hate group since, what, 2006? So 10 years we've been a hate group. Because what? We're Christians, we're conservatives, we're white, we don't hate ourselves. I guess that's the reason. But Black Lives Matter is not a hate group. People, a group that murders police officers for sport, basically, not a hate group.
And calls for it publicly.
That's
every
right.
opportunity.
That's
and
right.
Doesn't back down, doesn't try to explain
in
it.
In fact, the Southern Poverty Law Center just released a very lengthy article explaining why exactly Black Lives Matter is not a hate group. When have we ever called for the murder of anyone, much less cops? We're extremists, but Lena Dunham, the perverted degenerate who spoke at the DNC, is not. They say we're racist. We brought this up at lunch yesterday. We have never said anything so racist as Bill Clinton said during Hillary Clinton's campaign against Barack Obama in 2008. Never, in public or in private, have we said anything as outlandish as Bill Clinton said, which was still pretty innocuous as far as this kind of talk goes. But would clue the audience in on that particular conversation, Keith.
Well, I think he was having a conversation with Ted Kennedy or else some other Kennedy, and he said, do you realize that this guy that we're about to nominate as the Democratic candidate for president would have been serving coffee to us in a starched white uniform a few scant years ago?
Well, so this is
now. Can you imagine that type of comment? You know, what would happen if a Republican made that comment? Well, it's like you were saying. You know, you're talking about David Duke's candidacy.
And we'll get into that in a minute.
But just think about this. Robert Byrd was one of the ranking heads of the Democratic Party. He was a member of the Ku Klux Klan. But, of course, that's of no importance whatsoever. But David Duke was apparently in the Klan back in the late 60s, maybe the early 70s at the latest.
When he was 24 years old. When he was 24 years old. And I want to get into that in the next segment, but I want to stay on Clinton very quickly. So he says basically Obama should be serving us coffee. Michelle, the reason I bring that up is that never gets brought up. That would be brought up against anyone who was a conservative, but because it's Hillary Clinton's husband and because it's Bill Clinton, never brought up. It's not a stain on her record. The reason I bring that up, though, is this. Michelle Obama, during her convention speech in Philadelphia, said that she looks outside the White House and she sees her daughters playing and she remembers back on the horrific days when slaves were actually used to build the White House.
She has a long memory, apparently.
Well, look, Michelle has suffered. She's had a very bad life. She's had no privilege. America has been very mean to her, and it's just been a hard road for her. That nothing good's ever happened to Michelle
Tubman's Obama. Harry Tubman's life was a bowl of cherries compared to her.
That's right. Well, Bill O'Reilly filled in the blanks. He said, in fact, the First Lady was correct that some slaves were used on the construction of the White House. We know that because their slave masters were paid. He also said that freed blacks worked on the White House. Whites worked on the White House. It was a collaborative
a joint effort.
He said also that the blacks who were slaves that did work on the construction of the White House in the 1700s were fed and given good accommodations. So the media jumps down on Bill O'Reilly for pointing out these absolutely historical facts. They said Bill O'Reilly has said that the slaves were well fed. Well, were they or were they not? Yes, they were. And they said, though, this is it, Keith. They said Bill O'Reilly was pro-slavery. He was soft on slavery. The exact same thing they said about me and about this program when I said I agreed with a black writer for a black newspaper in Jamaica that the descendants of slaves were better off having been here than if their ancestors had not come. They said I was pro-slavery for pointing out that very basic truth. O'Reilly's now pro-slavery for having said that the slaves who worked on the White House construction were fed. Now, is that an endorsement of slavery to say that slaves were fed? Well, that's what the media says, and O'Reilly responded word for word on the O'Reilly factor earlier
apparently
this week
they were starved.
With exactly with what I said.
Apparently they were starved, and that's why we have all these 400-pound black people around nowadays, you know, playing in the NFL, for example, or for Division I college football. See, this is the total absurdity of the left. You're pro-slavery. Unless, if you say that there were some advantages to black people from slavery, at least in North America, that's the only occasion for them to come to North America.
To say they were even fed, that they were given food, is to say you're pro-slavery.
Yeah, and they obviously were fed because they didn't all die, okay? You die from starvation if you're not fed. And, you know, it's just, you know, furthermore, slavery has to be something that was exclusively inflicted upon black people, exclusively by white people. If you don't buy into that false historical narrative, you're pro-slavery.
Well, slavery still exists today. No one cares about the slavery that exists in 2016 because it exists in exclusively non-white countries, and there's nobody to shake down, no white guilt to take advantage of there. Bill O'Reilly, pro-slavery. Welcome to the club, Billy. We should talk about it on your program. We've both been through that this year. What liars, what degenerates, what perverts. We'll be back.
The mainstream media is.
The clown media. You're exactly right.
As the United States boldly stepped forward in the glorious light provided by its new Constitution in 1787, the nations of the earth were in awe of the newfound strength and hope of this free land. Today, the nation stands at a crossroads. A divergence from the original intent put forth in the United States Constitution has brought grave threats to our beloved nation. A miracle is needed if the United States is to survive. That miracle is, again, the pure application of the United States Constitution. I'm Scott Bradley. In my To Preserve the Nation book and lecture series, I bring forth truths that will help raise up a new generation of statesmen like those noble Americans who founded this land. Vigorous application of these principles will invigorate and restore the nation, and we may become again the freest, most prosperous, most respected, and happiest nation on earth. Visit topreservethenation.com to begin that restoration.
Liberty is not free. Its costs are innumerable. Without monetary funding, the valiant efforts of freedom-loving Americans become diminished or outright defeated. We present a solution, the Give Me Liberty Fund. The plan is quite simple. Invite individual Americans to contribute less than a dollar a day. These monetary funds are used to promote liberty-minded media, organizations, events, candidates, movements, and speakers. In the spirit of transparency, all expenditures are published. Patriotic business owners provide discounted products and services to Give Me Liberty Fund members. Our greatest strength is in numbers. Go to GiveMeLibertyFund.com and become part of the solution today. GiveMeLibertyFund.com. Participate in the peaceful restoration of the greatest and freest country in the world.
If you're at all like me, you have a tough time remembering appointments and events. But ladies and gentlemen, I have the answer. It's a premier service on the internet called Memo to Me. It's free. You ought to try it. Now I never miss the honey-do items from my wife or the important business meetings. They have strict privacy protection. That means they will release your email address to no one ever. You will not get spam because of Memo to Me. Unmatched dependability. Ladies and gentlemen, these folks have been around since 1998, and they are absolutely up online all the time to send you your reminders and appointments. They have rock-solid reliability. They have 5 redundant internet connections, diesel-powered generators backing up the system. I'm telling you, Memo to Me is the premier reminder service on the internet. It's free. You ought to give it a try. And, oh, by the way, if you're not available at your computer to get your email reminders, they can even send a reminder to your cell phone or pager. I use MemoToMe.com daily and highly recommend it to you. MemoToMe.com. Memo to Me.
Get on the show and speak with James and the gang. Call us toll free at 1-866-986-6397. And now back to tonight's show.
Okay, Keith, you mentioned it before, so let's get into the fact that David Duke has officially declared that he is running for the United States Senate as a Republican in Louisiana. David was on this show 2 or 3 weeks ago when he was still considering running. Now it's been made official. It was made official the day after Trump gave his acceptance speech in Cleveland. I was still in Cleveland when Duke announced, but I did catch wind of the fact, and it's happening to this day, that the national and international clown media is just all over him.
Like a rash.
Like a Georgia tick, yeah. But he loves it. He thrives in that. And this is not anything that he is at all afraid of.
In fact, he says, you know, call me anything except late for dinner.
Pretty much. But anyway, let me explain. Let's break down a little bit what's going on. So he decided to run for the Senate seat in Louisiana instead of the United States Representative seat, because to run for the U.S. House, he would have been running against Steve Scalise, an entrenched incumbent who is the third in line in the Republican hierarchy.
Why in the world would you want to run for that when a Senate seat is open, and that's a 6-year term versus a 2-year term in the House of Representatives?
But in the Senate, though, it's open. It's wide open. The incumbent senator is not running for re-election. It's a wide open election, and Louisiana has something that is known as a jungle primary. What that means is that Republicans, Democrats, and Independents are all put on the same ballot. And that ballot, people go to the polls to vote in that jungle primary for senator on Election Day, November the 8th. So the same people that will be going to vote for Trump will be able to select between one of 24 candidates running for that United States
and
Senate
seat. And unless
seat.
One of them gets 50% plus one, then there is a runoff between the two top vote-getters.
That's right. Excellent point, Keith. So, as Keith just mentioned, unless one of those 24 candidates get 50% or more of the vote, there's going to be a runoff. A runoff is a contest between the top two vote-getters that will be held in December of this year.
So it will probably be the only thing on that ballot, so there'll probably be a low turnout. So this is a real opportunity for David Duke to actually get elected to the U.S. Senate.
And this is how he became the Republican nominee for governor. And of course, this is how he was elected as a member of the Louisiana State Legislature back in 1989. So it's very interesting here, though. So there's 24 people running. Duke could legitimately get into the runoff with 15% of the vote at most out of a field of 24 candidates that includes Democrats as well as independents and Republicans, which Duke is running as a Republican, and that is uncontested. So then the media is, of course, just they don't know what to do.
They
don't know
what to do about this. They'll be leaping off buildings if David Duke gets elected.
Former Klansman, this, former Klansman, that. You mentioned Robert Byrd. Republicans in Louisiana, Reince Priebus, all of these Republicans were saying we would never endorse a former Klansman, but they already have. Let me tell you how they already have. Robert Byrd was a Democrat, yes. He was a former Klansman, yes. But in order for him to be confirmed as the Senate pro tem, which is third in line to the president, that's in the line of succession.
He's the president pro tem of the Senate is what
president,
the title.
Yes, president pro tem of the Senate. He is third in line to the presidency of the United States. He was confirmed unanimously by Republicans to be the president of the Senate. And he was a former Klansman. So,
and just remember this, too. Trent Lott got in more trouble about Robert Byrd's being a member of the Ku Klux, former member of the Ku Klux Klan, than Robert Byrd did. Again, talk about a double standard.
Well, the thing about Duke is this, and I got to tell you, folks, he was in an interview with Radix Journal that just came out today, Duke was. I listened to the whole thing. It was about 55 minutes long. Go to Radix Journal, R-A-D-I-X, radixjournal.com, and listen to this interview with David Duke. It is the most sincere. I've done a lot of interviews with David. I've been on his show. He's been on mine for over the years. This is one of the most sincere interviews I have ever heard. If you really want to get to know David Duke, listen to this interview that he did with Radix Journal today, and it's at radixjournal.com. They talked extensively about his decision to go into the Klan as a 20-year-old. He says, obviously, looking back, I regret that. And it's just, he talks about all of these different facts and what he stands for and who he is and who he's not and the way the clown media has treated him. He said, the proper way to introduce me is not who I was in my 20s, but as former Representative David Duke. I was elected. I was the gubernatorial nominee for the Republican Party in Louisiana. I have before been the Republican nominee for the United States Senate in Louisiana. And he ran very competitive races in those statewide elections and would have won had he betrayed his conviction.
He is electable in Louisiana.
Well, here's the thing. And getting to that, the media is saying Republicans would vote Democrat before they voted for Duke. Would they? You can count on Duke to do this. Forget the fact that he was in the Klan and made mistakes when he was in his 20s out of college. Forget that. Think about this. He had a perfect Republican voting record as a member of the House of Representatives in Louisiana from 1989 to 1993. Can you count on David Duke to support Trump's nominees as a United States Senator for the Supreme Court? Yes, you can. Can you believe that David Duke will be on board to support Trump's vision to secure our borders? Yes, you can. Can you count on David Duke as a Republican Senator to push forward Trump's agenda on fair trade and fair policies for American workers? Yes, you can. Do you really believe in a very deep South red state like Louisiana, who's going to go heavily for Trump, that they will go for the Democrat to avoid putting in someone who made intemperate decisions as a youth?
Well, think about this, James. Think about this. I think on all of those issues that you just enumerated, that you just listed, David Duke is much more likely to support Donald Trump than Donald Trump's own vice presidential candidate, Mike Pence.
That's a great point, Keith. And Duke on this show 3 weeks ago said, listen, I'm a Christian. These were things I did in my past. But in the Radix Journal, he really unpacks the whole Klan thing. I don't even get into that on this show. But the thing is, folks, listen. Take the media out of it, and there's this outlandish story that Trump and Duke have this quid pro quo, and the reason that I was able to come to the Republican convention is because Trump is winking at Duke, and even though he's denouncing Duke with timidity publicly, he's bringing me in because I'm working for Duke. That's also ludicrous and made up.
Did he say that you were an employee?
Well, he said I'm a surrogate. I'm working for Duke, basically. I'd have to pull it up.
Well, the thing is, you know,
I'm certainly not getting paid for anything.
Yeah, believe me. That's the most absurd comment.
But listen, this is not – that wasn't presented as a theory, or maybe this is what's going on. That was presented as, hey, everybody knows Duke and Trump and Edwards and Bushman are all working together, and there's this –
having secret meetings in a graveyard at midnight.
That's
apparently
it. Well, that's what? But this thing with Duke in the Senate is so incredible. Duke, 66 years of age, going forward with this, this is one of the things that's always hung across my head like an albatross. I'm friends with David Duke. You know what? I am friends with David Duke. You know why I'm friends with David Duke? Because unlike these pigs in the media, I know the man. I didn't know the man before I was born when he did all of these things that you don't like. I have known the man since 2004. He's been a guest in my home. I have talked with him extensively about the issues, extensively about his paradigm for freedom and diversity across racial lines. The man I know is a good man, and he is a man that is welcome in my home and is a man who is welcomed to break bread with my wife and my children. And I am not going to back down from a friend. That's just the bottom line. I hope he can get in that runoff in Louisiana because I think he's a good man, and I think he is treated far more horrifically than even we are, and that is saying a ton, ladies and gentlemen, because that is very hard. I think very few people in the world have the experience with the media that we have. There are very few who have had it even worse, and this man's one of them. And is it fair? In my opinion, no, it's not. Do I hope he wins? Yes, I do.
Well, the most interesting scenario of Duke being elected is that we run on CPR machines throughout the mainstream media. There will be people stroking out at NBC, CBS, NBC.
Well, they already are. Look at it. Every day, it's another wave of attacks against Duke from everyone. Everyone. I have never seen anything
like it. And
it
will nail and reinforce their own impotence.
Hey, except for right here at Liberty News Radio, we're willing to be arbiters of the truth in fairness and decency. We'll give anybody a platform to speak their mind and tell us how they really are. We'll be back.
Your daily Liberty News Wire. You're listening to Liberty News Radio.
With news this hour from LibertyNewsDaily.com, I'm William Grigg. This year's Democratic platform emphasizes the court-created supposed right to an abortion while removing any mention of the Second Amendment's explicit recognition of the individual right to armed self-defense. Jacob Sullum of Reason magazine points out that, like previous platforms, this year's edition calls for various new gun controls, including extension of the federal background check requirement to all gun transfers, expansion of the criteria that disqualify people from owning guns, reenactment of a federal assault weapon ban, and repeal of the federal law that protects gun suppliers from civil liability based on criminal misuse of their products. However, Sullum continues, unlike those earlier platforms, this year's does not so much as mention the Second Amendment. You are listening to LibertyNewsDaily.com. In other news, in September 2014, Richmond, California police officer Wallace Jensen shot and killed an unarmed 24-year-old man named Richard Perez, who was suspected of public intoxication. Jensen claimed that as Perez resisted arrest, he reached for his gun and that the shooting was justified because he feared for his life. Eyewitness testimony contradicted Jensen's claims. Although Jensen was cleared of criminal charges, Perez's family was paid $850,000 to settle a civil claim against the city. Jensen is now retired from the force at age 33, claiming an industrial disability pension that will pay him more than $70,000 a year, tax-free for the rest of his life. For commentary and insights on a troubled world, visit Joel Skousen's worldaffairsbrief.com. For LibertyNewsDaily.com, I'm William Grigg.
The Occidental Quarterly fills a unique niche in bringing together scholarly articles on a wide range of topics that are mired in political correctness elsewhere. It is edited by Professor Kevin MacDonald, who's no stranger to listeners of the political cesspool. There are quite a few reasons for the precarious state of our civilization and our people, but one of the main ones is that we have lost the intellectual and moral high ground to a cultural elite that is hostile to our people and our culture. Those of us who are politically aware must understand that the elites dominating culture and the political process in the West are intellectually and morally bankrupt. TOQ is the key. Digital download subscriptions are only $30 a year. Subscriptions by first-class mail are only $60 a year. Go to TOQOnline.com and click on subscribe now. In addition to receiving fascinating and informative articles, you will also be supporting the work of scholars who are part of a community defending our people and our culture with the highest level of integrity and intellectual sophistication. That's TOQOnline.com. Subscribe now.
Welcome back. To get on the show, call us on James's Dime at 1-866-986-6397.
All right, folks, so there's all this stuff in the news, these wild conspiracy theories about how we got to go to the Republican National Convention. The fact of the matter is we were invited to go to both the Republican and Democratic conventions. We accepted one invitation, declined the other, because we are every bit as legitimate as anyone else who was there. We have AM, FM, terrestrial radio stations across the country. This is a nationally syndicated radio network. I'm one of the programs that is lucky enough and fortunate enough to be carried by Liberty News Radio, which was founded by Sam Bushman, one of the top 250 broadcasters in the country, according to Talkers Magazine a couple of years ago. Sam Bushman, a radio veteran who has owned and managed radio stations in his career, he has forgotten more about broadcasting than most of these people in the clown media will ever know. That's why we were invited to go, because we are a legitimate outlet. Now, you may disagree with what we have to say. You can lie about who we are. But you cannot lie enough about who we are to make it be true. We were invited because we had every right to be there, and we deserve to be there, Keith.
And furthermore, if Trump's invisible hand was responsible for getting James press credentials to the Republican convention, I suppose that Hillary's invisible hand was responsible for getting him the same credentials to the Democratic convention, because you were invited to both of them, had credentials for both of them. And the short answer to why is that you are a legitimate professional journalist and political commentator. And if we, the First Amendment is worth the paper it's printed on, there should be no question that you would have the right and get those type of credentials.
Well, and look, it's CNN, my short stint as a commentator on CNN. Should CNN be disinvited? And these idiots know better. These idiots know that the candidates do not call each commentator or radio personality or television host and extend them a personal invitation to come to the convention.
Well, you know why it is. We've said it numerous times before, but let's repeat it again. They're trying to throw Trump on a third rail that will electrocute him and end his candidacy. That third rails are racism, Klan, Nazism, whatever. And they somehow think there's gold in those hills by trying to associate Donald Trump with James Edwards.
It's funny that you bring up Nazism and all of this other stuff, Holocaust denial. I'm called a Holocaust denier and a neo-Nazi by some of these thugs in the clown media. In 12 years, never once, except for one interview with Pat Buchanan, did we ever even address World War II at all. And certainly we've never talked about the Holocaust.
Well, if it ever occurred to you to think about it, you would probably deny the Holocaust is what they're trying to assume. You know,
I guess they
just paint with such a broad brush. They consider that to be some type of pejorative or some type of damnation. And most people that hear that say, huh, what's that about? You know, the mainstream media is like the bubble child. They live in a bubble. They think that their world is the world that the rest of us inhabit.
Well, contrary to popular belief, what happened in Europe in the 1930s and 40s really doesn't affect me today. I just hate to tell you that, ladies and gentlemen, but it's not
high on your agenda.
I'm hung up on. I'm looking forward to the future, and I'm forward thinking. But anyway, to round out the show tonight, Jared Taylor, our very good friend, has just released a brand new video, What Trump Must Do in Order to Win. Now, it's 11 minutes long, so we're not going to be able to play the whole thing this segment. But what we're going to do is we're going to start it. We're going to stop it when we have to go to our last break of the night, and then we're going to finish it in the next segment, and then we'll let Keith Alexander offer his response to what Jared has to say. This is Jared Taylor writing the prescription, Dr. Taylor, if you will, for what Trump must do in order to win. Let's listen to Jared now.
I'm Jared Taylor with American Renaissance. Donald Trump is now the Republican candidate, but what does he need to do to win in November? The simple answer is that he needs to persuade lots of whites to first go to the polls, and second, vote for him. Remember, Mitt Romney got 59% of the white vote in 2012, but he still lost because Barack Obama got 93% of the black vote, 71% of the Hispanic vote, and 73% of the Asian vote. White people didn't get the president they wanted because non-whites wanted the Democrat. Mr. Trump will not get a majority of any non-white group, so he's got to get a big chunk of the white vote. Whites are still about 70% of American voters. That means that if they voted as a block the way non-whites do, they could choose the president, even if every single non-white voted the other way. Neutered Republicans keep saying the GOP is never going to get more than the 59% of the white vote Mr. Romney got, and that the party therefore has to pander to blacks and Hispanics. Wrong. Pandering would drive a lot of whites away in disgust. And Republicans seem to forget that getting just 1% more of the white vote is the equivalent of getting 7% more of the Hispanic vote. Which would be easier for Donald Trump? Some whites will vote for Hillary no matter what, and some will vote for Mr. Trump no matter what. It's the others he has to think about, and more of them just don't vote at all. Every time Mr. Obama ran, the white turnout fell by 1% from 2004 to 2008, and it dropped another 2% in 2012 to just 64% of eligible white voters. That means more than a third of whites who could have voted didn't. If a lot more whites came out to vote, Mr. Trump wouldn't even have to increase the percentage of whites who vote for him. But I think he can increase the turnout and get more of them to vote Republican. The whites who are least likely to vote are the ones with the least education. Only 35% of white high school dropouts voted in 2012. As for whites who were under 30 and never went to college, only 27% of them voted. Almost three-quarters of those white people didn't vote. And it's whites under 30 who never went to college who are the most obvious Trump voters. They can't afford a nice white neighborhood like the one Hillary lives in. They are the ones who are hurt when factory jobs go overseas. They have to compete with Mexicans for what's left. They are the ones out in the cold when America celebrates diversity. Their children get stuck with classmates who can't speak English. They are the forgotten, despised Americans Mr. Trump says he will fight for. And you can be sure that not one government agency or nonprofit or party outreach committee is trying to register poor whites to vote or will charter buses to take them to the polls. Poor blacks and Hispanics? Of course, but forget about poor whites. Mr. Trump should think really hard about how to get those people registered and make sure that they vote. It's whites with advanced degrees who are the most likely to vote. 83% of them voted in 2012. That's more than three times the rate of young whites without much education. And they, as the media love to remind us, are more likely to vote Democrat. The fact is, though, there isn't nearly as much of a class split among whites as most people think. For example, if you look at whites with a college education or more, 36% are Republicans and 27% are Democrats. But for those who never went even to college, the figures aren't that much different. 34% Republican, 27% Democrat. These are differences of just 1 or 2%. Wealth doesn't make that much difference in party preference. So the main thing Mr. Trump needs to do is go all out on policies that appeal to whites. And those aren't always the ones the Republicans have been pushing. Here is a list of policies that majorities of whites either support or oppose. The first line is favor increasing taxes on millionaires. You can see that 76.6% of whites are for it, and 75.1% of non-whites are for it too. The number in the rightmost column is the difference between white and non-white support. As you can see, from the next two items, there are big majorities of whites who want to be nice to homosexuals. unlike many hardline Republicans. Also, very few whites want an outright ban on abortion, even though lots of Republicans do. You might want to stop the video and look at the other policies, but basically whites want higher taxes on corporations and less money spent on the poor, welfare, or child care. And as you can see at the bottom, they hate affirmative action. There are other policies not listed here that are important for whites. Large majorities want to build a wall on the Mexican border, and most whites don't like free trade agreements. So, Mr. Trump should hit all these policies very hard. The fact is, Mr. Trump has put together an almost...
All right, we're going to pause that right there because we have to. And when we come back, we'll listen to the conclusion of Jared Taylor's commentary on what Trump must do in order to win. And then we'll wrap up the show with our unique opinion and analysis. James Edwards and Keith Alexander on the other side. Last segment of the night right after this.
Break the bond to Big Pharma. Hi, it's Joyce Riley with the Power Hour to tell you about the powerful benefits of Strauss Heart Drops. Many people today are locked into the routine of taking multiple prescription drugs. Strauss Herb Company believes that everything the body needs is provided by nature. Strauss Heart Drops may clear congested arteries, restore damaged muscle, maintain healthy cholesterol levels, and flush toxins and metals from the body. They may even be helpful in treating varicose veins. And unlike prescription drugs that are packed with chemicals, Strauss Heart Drops are 100% natural and harness the healing power of herbs like garlic, cayenne, white willow bark, and mistletoe. For the full line of Strauss products, I urge you to call the Power Hour at 877-817-9829. That's 877-817-9829, or visit thepowermall.com. And remember, beware of knockoffs. Get the original. Get Strauss Heart Drops.
We fought, we learned, we struggled,
we won.
Despite Obama's best efforts, the newspaper of the human resistance survives. We have lived only to face a new nightmare, the war against the machines. Read about our struggle in The Sovereign, newspaper of the resistance. The Sovereign is a 24-page monthly tabloid newspaper about the war between man and machines. We've tried reason, we've tried legislation. We've tried every peaceful means imaginable, and all it's gotten us is shut out. So now we fight the machines. Order online today at thesovnews.com or find The Sovereign at select newsstands. Remember to read The Sovereign, newspaper of the resistance. The human resistance's battle against the machines will be everlasting. This is mercy. It was never our destiny to stop the age of Obama. It was merely to survive it. Together. Together.
Many of you have heard me talk about my Vigor score. You say, Sam, what on earth is all this Vigor stuff about? Well, Vigor is defined as zest for life, your strength in body and mind, your energy levels. It's kind of all wrapped into a term called Vigor. Would you like to improve your Vigor score? Well, you got to first take the free test. Get a hold of Kurt, C-U-R-T, at LibertyRoundtable.com or call Kurt Cosby at 801-669-2211. I took the test, got a 13 out of 32. Horrible, huh? But I worked on it with Kurt with some natural help and healing, and before you know it, now I've got an astounding 29 out of 32 on the Vigor score. Can you tell by the way I talk? Oh, yes, my zest for life has never been better. Get a hold of Kurt Cosby. That's 801-669-2211 and take your free Vigor test today, and you can learn where you stand. And then you can work on improving it and take the test again. And, oh, compare the results. You will be delighted. Get a hold of Kurt Cosby. Kurt, C-U-R-T, at LibertyRoundtable.com or 801-669-2211 for your free Vigor score test today.
Welcome back. To get on the show, call us on James's Dime at 1-866-986-6397.
Well, as I do every show, I look forward to what the week ahead will bring until we are together again next Saturday night. Undoubtedly, more articles written about how evil we are. Evil for having a very traditionalist, conservative, Christian...
populist, conservative program.
And you can keep on going, but that's right. And I welcome that. I welcome the struggle. I'm always smarting for a fight with the clown media. And
we speak for the majority of America. And make no bones about it. There is no doubt about it. What we speak here is what other people think. And you never hear it on the mainstream media unless you hear it from us.
Well, and from this radio network. And that's the beauty of what Bushman has built here with Liberty News Radio. It gives us a voice. And there's other great programs, many other great programs on this network. And they're all doing a great job. Well, another man doing a great job, Jared Taylor. Let's go back. We were playing his video, which was published to American Renaissance just yesterday, what Trump must do in order to win. You heard a little bit of that in the previous segment. Let's play the last half now, and then we'll wrap up the show with a few parting words afterwards. Let's go.
The fact is, Mr. Trump has put together an almost perfect program to appeal to whites. He's different from standard-issue Republicans on taxes and trade agreements and their tough talk on abortion and homosexuals. I don't think he sat down and worked it out that way. It was probably pure instinct. What he says isn't likely to change the minds of non-whites, so he shouldn't worry about them. Of course, there's no reason deliberately to offend them. And he can always throw in a few fluffy lines about making America great again for every American of every race and religion. But the main thing he should do is wake up every morning and ask himself, what can I do to get more white votes? There are two policies he should add that will fire up whites. One would be a fierce attack on affirmative action or racial preferences. Whites hate them and would love it if Trump called them what they are, discrimination against whites. The second is something he unveiled at the Republican convention, and he should push even harder, and that is a powerful defense of the police. Whites do not think of the police as their enemies. Whites overwhelmingly approved when the officer who shot Michael Brown was not indicted. They are furious when blacks riot or kill police. If Mr. Trump treated Black Lives Matter with as much contempt as he did Jeb Bush, whites would be so happy they'd pop. These two things, attacks on racial preferences and Black Lives Matter, would get a lot of whites off their duffs and down to the polling stations. The media would screech about racism. Let him screech. It won't hurt him. White turnout will make or break Donald Trump. But he has already set a record for primary election turnout. This year, there were 36% more Republican primary voters than in 2012. And for just one reason. It's because he was on the ballot. If he could boost the white general election turnout by, what, 5%? 10? He would sail into the White House. And if anybody can do it, he can. There is not one white man or woman in the whole country who doesn't know that Donald Trump crushed every one of the Republican Party bosses who thought they had it in the bag. Ordinary whites got a huge kick out of seeing Jeb Bush slink off with his tail between his legs. And I think a record number of them will go to the polls in November. Even the high school dropouts will find a way. There's one group of whites who are real renegades, though, and that's single women. In 2012, only 44% of them voted for Mitt Romney. A lot of them are going to vote for Mrs. Clinton. And that is why Mr. Trump must make the most of his daughter, Ivanka. Women care a lot about what other women think, especially beautiful women. Ivanka, and also the glamorous Mrs. Trump, should get on television as much as possible. They should be in Mr. Trump's TV ads. They could win over some of those single white women, and they certainly won't scare men away. They could even pick up non-white voters. This is going to be a hard fight. The entire media class hates Donald Trump. The sore losers in the Republican Party hate him. Black and Hispanic race hustlers hate him. The fancy white people who hire Guatemalan nannies hate him. It's ordinary white people who love him. But if Mr. Trump doesn't love them back and work night and day to convince them he won't let them down, they'll stay home. This may be their last chance to vote for an America that isn't a multi-culti nightmare. But ordinary white people are cynical. The Republicans have kicked them around for years. Mr. Trump has got to convince them he really can change the country. He's got to inspire them. And if he does, he'll be our next president.
Okay, well, that was an excellent analysis by Jared Taylor. He's basically getting at, Keith, what Dick Morris said doomed Romney in 2012, is that Romney didn't lose because he didn't get 4% of the black vote. He lost because he didn't get enough percentage of the white vote. I don't think Trump is going to have a problem motivating white voters to go after him, but he is going to have to navigate every dirty trick, lie, libel, slander, and everything else you could imagine between now and then. It's going to be the veritable gauntlet, but I think he can do it. I think he will do it, and whether he wins or loses depends on the white vote. What did you take away from Jared's commentary?
Well, I thought it was an excellent commentary, first of all, but let me also say this. I think that the key is to motivate white voters with less education and getting them to the poll. And we need to, again, duplicate the tactics of the Democrats and the left. As you know, how did they get their version of low-information voters out to vote for them? They do it by taking busloads of people to early voting, by having voter registration drives. This should be done by the local Republican parties throughout the nation in the run-up to this election. We need to get absentee voter ballots for Granny, who probably doesn't have a picture voter ID and therefore can't vote either early or in the general election on election day. But he's absolutely right that affirmative action really motivates white people. I know that more than anyone else. That, you know, I have been hurt and my career has been diminished by affirmative action as much as anyone's. And where other people suspect it, I know it because of the strategic job I had in the registrar's office of my college. I could see it and I had access to the actual information that proved it. But that's going to be a hard thing to say. What he needs to say on affirmative action is whenever he's asked about racial discrimination, he needs to say, I'm against racial discrimination against anybody. No one should be discriminated against by virtue of their race. That's like a dog whistle to white people that maybe we would start applying racial discrimination laws as they are written in the 1964 Civil Rights Act.
But it's also something we totally agree with. We don't want anyone to have to be treated detrimentally,
right,
including our people, which is where we split hairs with the rest.
And that's how he can say it in a non-controversial way. Now, of course, the media will try to press him because they will see that basically they want a double standard where white people are not allowed to discriminate or people can't discriminate in favor of white people, but you can certainly discriminate in favor of non-whites. That's what their whole program is based on. So he can just make I'm against all discrimination comment and then follow it up shortly after the election by getting in a new Justice Department and starting to enforce this 1964 Civil Rights Act according to its terms, which says no racial discrimination, period. Doesn't say it's all to be done for the benefit of black people, which is the way that the EEOC and the Justice Department have interpreted it since 1969 when Richard Nixon allowed affirmative action to be the policy of the United States government. But the most important thing, I think, is the jobs issue. If you keep hitting the jobs issue and say, I'm going to bring back good American jobs from overseas, not slob jobs paying $10 or less an hour with no benefits, but jobs that pay, let's say, $20, $25 plus benefits to the American people, then you will get all of these high school dropout whites and other people really motivated to come out and vote. That's what you've got to do. And he's absolutely right also that the Trump family, and particularly the Trump women, Ivanka, Tiffany, and Melania, need to be out there talking a lot. They've tried to basically stuff a sock in the mouth of Melania by criticizing her so unfairly. Let her take the stage. That's one of the keys to his nomination.
Now that's the first lady.
That's a key to his victory.
A first lady we can be proud of, that's for sure. And, folks, one way or another, it's going to be settled in 100 days, and we're going to do everything we can on this program to make America great again. Thanks for being with us tonight. Please contribute to us. We need your help. ThePoliticalCesspool.org. For Keith Alexander and the rest of my crew, I'm James Edwards. We love you. God bless you. No retreat, no surrender, no apologies. I'll talk to you next week. Good night, everybody.